Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Good evening. I don't know where you're chiming in from. If you are listening to us on the podcast, thank you so much. Remember to give us a, I like to call it 6-star rating, because why not? Pacific Northwest, of course, you know that we are streaming on the dial at AM 1150 KKNW, and also streaming live on YouTube. So if you want to see us and my guests goofing off and be entertained, quite honestly, on YouTube, please do that. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM. Remind all of you, if you want a copy of the radio show, show notes, and extra links that are provided by our guests and or myself, please make sure that you go to claritywithsue.com, sign up for the newsletter, and follow, do all that stuff on social media so you are in the know and the now. Good morning to everybody. Benny, good morning, love, and hello to the Pacific Northwest, everybody. And I had some, hi, Benny. Everybody loves our banter, by the way, so we got to keep you on.
That's good.
Yeah, they do. They're like, who's that? I'm like, I know, Benny, he's the superstar. Yes. So good morning.
Well, I appreciate
that. We were talking about the Kraken.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good. We're at the halfway point for the All-Star coming up, and everything's looking good for our city. I mean, teams, I believe in first or second, they're doing pretty good. So
good job,
let's keep moving forward. Yeah.
So exciting. And we were talking about the Sonics.
Well, you got to be a positive around it. You can't
to have basketball back in the Pacific Northwest. Come on, everybody.
I'm only supporting our former world champs. Our former world champs.
1970. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love
support
it. Okay, you guys, I am super excited. Well, I'm super excited every time. Thank you, Benny. Mm-hmm. Every time, quite honestly, when I bring on these amazing guests. And as you know, the reason I do this is so we can have new thoughts, new ideas, and new perspectives. And kind of, you know, not kind of, be that squeaky wheel and also educate and love on all of you, including myself. And I use this platform to bring on incredible thought leaders that have provided, and well, not yet, well, they've provided education, but not only that, they're stepping in the rink and they're showing up. They're showing up for their life. They have chosen to show up. They choose to show up. They choose to be better for themselves and show up to be a better example for those around them. And that's really exciting for me. I'm in the rink with them just as well. And I wanted to bring on, I know you guys have been witnessing this on social media, and this young man, I'm going to call him a young man. He's probably going to laugh at me when I bring him on, but we're going to talk about changing the world one small act at a time. I am super excited. Deepak Chopra says, an elegant, wise book of love in action. We are going to be talking about humankind, and I'm super excited to bring Brad Aronson on. He had like many of us, especially over these last few years, life-altering moments or times that completely changed our lives, his life and lifestyle. The oh snap moments, what do I do now? And Brad turns to hope. He shifts to kindness. We all have had an opportunity in our lives that we could go down the rabbit hole, or we can choose to have an awareness of love and kindness and change the mindset and perspective of hope and kindness to actual global kindness, and our human ability to reclaim and rediscover and focus on solutions that what we can offer and create opportunities. So welcome, 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 Mr. Brad. And I've got my book here. I've got rabbit ears. I've got sticky notes. I've got everything.
A book well read. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Thank you so much. Okay. You know, kindness, humanity. Let's start with your why. I mean, we can jump around into that why a bit. And then I want to really dive into all of the beautiful examples of human kindness and also the solutions. And, you know, it's like a domino effect, right? And everything. Yeah, you're like, for those in the radio world, he's nodding his head yes. So I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk. And then I'm going to start bringing up some things in the book that I wanted to chat about.
All right. I mean, I'd say, there were a few inspirations for the book. You know, one of them was the high school graduation of a mentee of mine. She graduated from Girard College. And even though it's called Girard College, it is a high school in Philadelphia. And at her graduation, on one side of me sat like this 70-something-year-old guy. And he told me that Girard changed his life. So he came back every year to support the next generation of graduates. And there's this part in the ceremony where you sing the school song. And this guy stood up and belted it out so proudly. And on the other side of me was this woman who was crying. She said she thought her daughter would be dead or in jail. And here she was graduating. And the commencement speaker, he spoke about how it was an incredible day. That the students at Girard were from areas of Philadelphia where it was expected that many of them would drop out of school and that few would go on to college. Yet every single graduating senior had been accepted to college. And then he went on to say, like, unfortunately, they're inheriting a world of negativity where the media is all about the negative and everything is about the negative. And you won't see a story about Girard in the news tomorrow. So, of course, the next day I wake up, I get online, I look everywhere, and there is nothing. So I get the Philadelphia Inquirer, our daily newspaper, read every page, there's nothing. And it was really disappointing because I felt like I was a witness to a real live inspirational movie and it made me feel amazing. And I thought that if other people knew the story of these students and the struggles they overcame and what they achieved, they'd feel great. And these types of stories need to be out there. And I thought that if I wanted to see them out there, I should like write about them. So I started writing about people and places that inspire me. And what I found so often was that it's not like having a million helpers or $1 million. It's doing something that seems inconsequential at the time that then changes a life or has a ripple effect, changing thousands and thousands of lives.
Brad, I love this conversation. And focusing on the positive, that doesn't mean negative things happen. We live in the language that the professionals use, small trauma, big T traumas, that type of stuff. And we have small T traumas every day, right? You know, somebody, there is something shocking has happened to the nervous system, right? So really recalibrating and realigning with our humanness, our kindness, our compassion, our love, and our ability to bounce back and to choose that, right? Because so many of us, we can go, like I said at the top of the hour, we can go down that unforgiving rabbit hole and we don't want to do that. So the book and the premise of that, and also sharing kindness and the tools that you have in here. Is there a story that you want to share? I mean, I've got, excuse me, I've got a little frog in my throat this morning. I mean, I've got some notes here. Let me clear my throat, but I'm going to let you take the mic. Hang on.
You know, I liked so many of the stories, but when you talked about us choosing, I want to talk about the story about Gabriel.
Okay.
So when Gabriel was 6 years old, his mom, Natasha, was tucking him into bed. And she said, Gabriel, you know, November 3rd's coming up and it's a really sad day for me. And I want to let you know that you're healthy, everything's okay, but I'm going to be sad because it's a sad day and I don't want you to worry. And the reason why it was a sad day for her is that several years prior, Gabriel had been diagnosed with a disease. The diagnosis was on November 3rd and he was cured now. He was totally healthy, but it always weighed heavily on Natasha. And Gabriel said, Mom, Why don't we make it a day of light so it can be a better day for you? Like Secret Santa Day. And
Oh.
here's the family history behind Secret Santa Day. So when Gabriel was in treatment, over the holidays, someone left a pile of presents on his porch. And they were presents for he and his sister. And they got a note with it. And the note just said, "Merry Christmas, love Secret Santa." And Natasha had pinned that note to the refrigerator. And she told me almost every night the family talked about it at dinner, how it was amazing that someone did this for them, how they couldn't believe they had no idea who it was. They never found out who it was. So, of course,
Best.
that is the
Best.
best.
I love doing that.
And the ripple continues. So then after that, the next Christmas season, of course, they decide they're going to become Secret Santas. And what
Oh.
they do is they find people in the community that they think could use a boost. And Gabriel, his mom, and his grandma would sneak over to their houses and leave like a plant or a gift on the porch from Secret Santa. And they talked about how, as good as that feeling of getting the gifts was, being Secret Santa. So Gabriel said, "Mom, why don't we do good things like we do when we're Secret Santa to make this into a good day?" And Natasha said, "All right, well, we'll do that." And he said, "Let's ask our family to do it as well." She said, "Okay, let me make a video and we'll send it to our family members." So she pulls out her phone, and Gabriel says, I want to turn November 3rd from a day of darkness into a day of light. So please do something nice for someone else." And she mails it to a dozen friends and family. And one family member emails back and says, "Hey, could you put this on a Facebook page? Because then, we could type what we're doing in there and communicate." So Gabriel finds out and he starts going nuts. "It's gonna be huge. Oh my goodness." And Natasha's trying to set his expectations. Like, people don't promote the good deeds they do. They're quiet about it. We only told a dozen people. And what they asked was, "If you do a kind deed, please give the recipient a card." And the card would say, "This is for Gabriel's Day of Kindness. If you feel so moved, please do a kind act for someone else to pay it forward and give them this card. And here's our website address." So that day comes, and Gabriel and Natasha and their family lives in Boston. The first kind act came from Wisconsin, then Florida, then all 50 states, then
Yes.
Armenia, France, Czech
Yes.
Republic, 53 other countries. This had gone global because a 6-year-old said, "Why not? Why shouldn't we turn this into a day of light?" Now, of course, Gabriel and his family, they did their own kind acts. So they went to the hospital where Gabriel was treated and gave out toys to the kids who were there. They went to a bank that was really helpful to their family and brought them donuts and thank you notes. And they put together these bags and some gift cards and gave it to people who were homeless. And then that night they went out to dinner, paid for another table's dinner, and watched as and the waitress brought over the Gabriel's Day of Kindness card. And they watched as table after table after table paid for dinner until finally Gabriel's dad said, "We got to go home or we'll be here all night." They get home and Gabriel goes, "Mom, Mom, wasn't it a great day?" She said, "Yes." He goes, "Is it still a day of darkness?" She said, "No, this was a great day. It was a day of light." He goes, "Mom, can we do it tomorrow?" She goes, "No, we can't do it tomorrow." And then he says, "Can we do it next year?" And she says, "Yes." And it's how Gabriel's Day of Kindness became an international kindness movement. And Natasha shared with me that seven families reached out to her and told her that they started their own days of kindness to turn their child's diagnosis day into a day of light. And this all started with you saying, like, we have a choice to make. And sometimes as adults, I feel like it's really hard for us. Like, we're burdened with decades of experience telling us things are the way they are. And sometimes kids are the ones who they're like, "Why not?"
Yes. Oh, Brad, I love that. And the just conceptualizing, obviously mom had a paradigm shift because of son, right? Massive paradigm shift, which I love. I love those moments. I call them the juicy moments, right? Where you completely shift the way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, and bringing it to kindness and having a ripple effect. Audience, I'm totally going to challenge you. Let's do this. Let's bring this again to the world. Moreover, especially now, coming out of the muckety muck that we've been playing in. I'm using and choosing my words very carefully, because I think it's important. And let's create something. I know that we are broadcasting live in Seattle right now. Contact me. Let's make something happen. Let's just make it happen. I think it's important. Share and love. And you know, Brad, I love doing those little acts of kindness. I don't tell anybody about them. That's not what it's about. It's just doing it. That's it. It's just doing it. So if more and more people, and it's just little tiny things, like you say in the book, it's having a small gesture of gratitude or kindness. I forget which chapter it was, but in just engaging, I don't remember which chapter it is in the book, but it really struck me about the smallest act of kindness. And it's, and I love this, Brad, because I've had this conversation with so many people and they've even said to me, it's intimidating, Sue, because you're looking me right in the eyes and you are so focused and engaged on what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. Are you, you know, but that's so true because people are so in their phones or so distracted by media and all the other things. And then when they come across another human that's actually fully vested in eye contact and conversating, their nervous system doesn't know how to handle it, right? Brad's nodding his head.
Yes,
we're in radio
yes,
world.
Yes, yes. And I mean, so along those lines, because my book is about these small acts of kindness that have a ripple effect, I talked to hundreds and hundreds of people who needed a small act of kindness to change their lives. And there was something that every single person agreed on, which shocks me. Like, I used to work in advertising. We did a lot of research. I can't remember anything that every person we did used for market research agreed on. But every person going through a difficult time said that being seen made a huge difference to them. And being seen didn't mean talking to them about what was going on. It meant just getting a card saying, hey, I'm thinking of you, or getting an email with a joke. Like, I thought you'd like this joke. The person who's the recipient, they know why you're sending them that joke.
Yes.
And, you know, in talking to people so often, like, all of us know someone who's going through a rough time, but we often don't reach out to them because we think it's awkward. I don't know them that well. Maybe they don't want to talk about it. I don't know what to say. Like, those are reasonable concerns. But from talking to hundreds of people going through difficult times, what they said is, it's amazing when someone reaches out, because when you're at that emotional low, the smallest thing, a note saying, I was thinking of you, a note with, I thought you'd like this book, brings people to tears. It gives them the strength to carry forward for a week. And by the way, when we meet with them, we don't have to worry about what to say. Like, we don't need to bring up their problems. And if they share something, what I've heard also is, like, sometimes it's natural for us as people to want to make them feel better and say the silver lining. People don't necessarily like that. They said, I just want someone to listen. Like, I know it's
hold
not
space.
Good.
Hold
yeah,
space.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's going to get better. So what we can say is just thank you for sharing. Like, people, that's what people want to hear. And for me personally, I didn't realize that. And I teach young people who've been through extreme trauma. And sometimes they share things with me that are really, really difficult. And what I say now is, thank you for sharing. And always, it's like this huge smile. Thanks for listening. Like, I'm not putting the burden on them to discuss it. I'm not saying, oh, something similar happened to me, or it's going to be okay. I'm just saying, thanks for sharing. But those little gestures, like, it carries people forward.
Ah, oh, Brad, so true. I'm just audience, I know we're live radio, but, and if we're YouTube, I'm just sitting in the beauty of the conversation and the moment, because it's so powerful to be seen, to be heard, and to feel the value from another human being. Right. And, you know, I think this book, Humankind, it's more than the gesture, it's community. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, what I love, the book is a passion project. All the proceeds go to Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is a favorite nonprofit. And the best part has been like, I get all these emails from people. Like, someone emailed me last week and said, I read your book. I had a big brother as a kid and it changed my life. And after reading your book, I decided I need to be a big brother for someone. And I just signed up and I'm going to get my little. And I get lots and lots of emails like that. And I think it's kind of what you said at the beginning, Sue. Like, all of us want to do something to change the world, but sometimes we're just paralyzed by all the muckety muck out there. Like, you just hear all the bad news and you figure, like, how can I make a difference? And sometimes if you hear these stories and you talk to people, you realize I can make a difference. Like, every single day, if I look for an opportunity, I can do that. And that's like the message.
I love it. I love it. And it's the community going across the world of kindness, right? And you know what's coming up for me, Brad, is again, something's in my throat, but that moment where you as the giver have the opportunity to engage, truly engage and of kindness, compassion, gratitude, and you feel very uncomfortable, because I think this is an important conversation, because I know I've witnessed this years ago. Now it's not a problem. I'll go up and say, oh my God, you're beautiful, baby. I love it. You know, I'm good. That's just, I'm the, that's the cheerleader in me. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? The love. Overcome that. It is just your nervous system. That's all it is. It's just, it's your fear of some kind of something of rejection, maybe, Brad. Is that a good word? Because you think they're going to look at you weird, act at you weird. If you're just sharing love and kindness, do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you think it, say it. Like, if you're thinking something nice, share it. And what you said is kind of what I heard from a lot of the people who participated in Gabriel's Day of Kindness. They had said, I didn't really do kind acts before, but I wanted to do it for Gabriel, so I did it. And I realized it's really easy and people are so appreciative, and now I've kind of worked it into my life. So, like you're saying, we need to get over that hurdle and just go out there. When we see something nice, say it. We have no idea what someone's going through. Sometimes saying, you know what? I could see you're a great mom is going to make someone's entire week. Like, if we feel it, say it.
The whole mom thing, you know, I've done this, and mom raised three grown girls now, women, but when they're throwing a tantrum and your wit's end and you witness this, and don't poo-poo them or shame them or look at them or growl, do that. Just look at them, smile and say, you got this, girl. You know, you got this. That little thing right there versus the typical shame or that little weird look in the eye. You know, Brad's nodding his head. Yes. You know, just, you know, hey, can I help you? You got this. You know, maybe it's not even I can I help you? It's just, you got this, girl. Been there, you know.
I mean, it's like, and being a parent, like, you do feel quite often that you're judged, especially in
Oh,
public when things
totally.
aren't going the way you want. And just saying, hey, kids are like this. Keep on going. As you said, you got it. Like, that makes a difference.
Huge difference. Huge difference. All right. Brad, we're going to take a really quick radio commercial break. We're going to still be live on YouTube. So if you want to listen to the conversation, hear us noodling over there, all you got to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM KKNW. We will be right back. Hey loves, this is Sue with the Gratitude Cafe and my website, Clarity with Sue, creating vitality, abundance, resilience. It's clear mindset. Clarity is your fuel and your gas pedal for all that you desire. Win at life and reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. Come get some freebies at claritywithsue.com. That is claritywithsue.com.
I'm Dr. Michael Noah with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it. with African-American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Love this conversation. Ah, national bestseller, an elegant, wise book of love in action. That's from Deepak Chopra, talking about humankind and Brad's journey through this beautiful little book. I want to remind all of you that 100% of the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club, which is absolutely beautiful. And it's paying it forward. It's showing up in human kindness and brilliance. And during the break, we were talking about authentic and genuine engagement and holding space. And I really want to have that conversation with you again, Brad, because so many people are the fix-its. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to talk about it. Oh, I've got that scar, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not what we're talking about. Let's unpack that a bit for the audience. Can we do that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, and this is a really good point. And we, you know, I want to start with intention. People mean well in these conversations.
Yes, they do.
But what I hear is often we say the wrong things. And to what you're saying, when someone shares their story with you, they're not looking for us to say it's going to be okay. Or show the silver lining or share our own stories. They just want to say, all right, you know, I love you. I'm here for you. Like that, that's quite often what they want to say. If you don't know if they want advice, you could ask, do you want me to give you some advice or thoughts on this? And let them say yes or no.
Yeah.
And also what we talked about at the break was sometimes as a way to try to connect, we're sharing our own story. So what I've heard from people, for example, who are ill is they might say, oh, you know, you have cancer. My aunt also had cancer. And sometimes those stories I've heard even go to like, my aunt also had cancer and she died.
Yeah.
You know, not positive, but trying to make a connection. We don't need to make a connection. They're sharing with us because they love us, and us to just say, yeah, I'm here for you. And letting them say what they want to say. And this is a little bit different, but I think it's related. You know, when we see people we love and they're going through a rough time, sometimes our natural thing that we say to people is like, hey, how you doing? And often when we say that to people, we don't even expect a response. It's just a way of saying hello.
Or it's an habituation on the person saying it. Hey, how's it going? You know, there's no real genuine engagement there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a habit. Yeah, go ahead.
And if someone's going through a rough time and we ask that, we're putting them in a difficult position where they're either going to say, oh, it's all about shiitakes, or they are going to say, oh, it's fine, and maybe be lying. And what people have said is much more comfortable for them is for us to say, hey, it's awesome to see you. It's great to see you. I'm so happy to see you, because that is how we're feeling. And we're not then asking them potentially to have a conversation they don't want to have. And like, again, these things often are news to me. I learn it, and then I want to share it so that other people can learn it as well.
So important. And also, I think there's a conversation. I know there's a conversation about also not feeding into the fears and the dramas as well, right? You know, the water cooler conversation, where if somebody's coming to you with fears, doubts, a small trauma, small T trauma, big T trauma, probably not big T traumas, but something that has happened into their life. I personally don't, and what I've learned in my practice is not to feed into the drama, not to feed the animal, to feed the fear, right? And just be there holding the space for the conversation. And you could even have the conversation and say, do you want my feedback? Am I just holding space for you? It's so simple as that. You know, I think, Brad, if you're going to assume, just assume you're always holding space unless you're asked otherwise, right?
Right.
Spoken and love.
And we're not psychics. As you said, we could ask. Well, I'm not a psychic. You may be. Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Audience, radio world, we are talking humankind, changing the world one small act at a time. I love this. Say yes to strangers. Help others to say yes, page 116. You want to talk about that pretty please?
Sure. And I should open my book to see exactly what part it's
helping others say yes and say yes to strangers. It's, well, you could just talk about saying yes to strangers. So, you don't have to use Meg or Sharon unless you want to.
I've got a few, you know, I think, and I don't remember what story this is related to, but the part you said about like helping other people say yes. What I heard from people going through a rough time is that it's really hard to ask for help.
Oh,
and how we offer it makes all the difference. So for example, if you're going through a rough time and I want to pick up some groceries for you, I could call you up and be, Sue, what can I get you at the grocery store? What do you need? Which is one way of asking. I could say, Sue, I'm going to Trader Joe's right now. I'm picking some stuff up for you. What should I get? Right? Like, it's much easier for you if I'm like, I'm going right now. What can I get? As opposed to, what do you need this? You're not impositioning me. I was at the hospital at one point, and I saw this woman who had a really hard time walking, and she wouldn't accept help from other people. And one of the nurses walked up to her and said, hey, can I walk with you? And she said, of course you can. And the nurse like wrapped her arm under the woman's arm and walked with her. And it was just such a beautiful way of offering help. And I think another thing, you know, two other thoughts along those lines are sometimes when you ask someone for help, like it's hard enough to ask for help, and they could be like, all right, well, I've got this thing and that thing and this thing, so I'll juggle this and do that and do that. Make that your internal monologue and be like, yeah, of course I can do it. It's easy. Just tell the person it's easy. And then when you get off the phone, figure out, oh my goodness, like, how am I going to rearrange all this stuff? Like, keep them out of that conversation.
Yep.
Is a great way to do it. And then, you know, another thing that's popping in my head is often when people ask for help or need help, if you go up to them and say, hey, let me know what I could do for you. They're so frazzled that they're like, all right, I'll get back to you. And they never do. And they'd rather us just show up like, hey, I was baking lasagna. I made an extra lasagna. Here's one for you. Or,
absolutely.
Oh my goodness, I'm here to clean your bathrooms, or I'm here to mow your lawn. And you know,
or
for
just
me,
shovel the driveway, whatever yes. it is, just do it and leave.
It's funny. I was going to say shovel the driveway, but you know, we haven't had snow yet and I don't want to.
We do. Yes. Go ahead.
So I think, and I used to always say to people like, let me know what I could do for you. Cause I didn't want to assume I knew, let them tell me what they needed. And what I found was that, through the book, specific things, doing something is most important, right? Love is a verb. Let's go do something.
It is my heartfelt intention that this ripples internationally through the airwaves, I want to hear stories from people sharing their human kindness. I want to hear them having a Gabriel day. I want, you know, day, hour conversation, you know, I want that for everybody in the world, you know, and to raise their vibration of love and appreciation and gratitude and get out of the muckety muck, you know, the sticky stuff, as I call it. And shifting, having a paradigm shift. Okay, hang on. You talk about, where's this page? Hang on a minute. The new lens of life. Hang on. Nope. I dog-eared it. Is that what the word is? Dog-eared
is.
So many things. Okay. We talked about being present. So on page 79, about being present, engaged. We in society have lost that ability to be really present. So I'm glad that we really had a deeper conversation about that and the how-tos, because people forget, what comes up, Brad, because of the media and society and our little addictions to our cell phones and our face in here, not out here, that we forget about engaging. We forget about conversating or eye contact even, right?
Yeah. And you could see it, especially with kids. So, I teach 18 to 25 year olds, and they would rather have a 20-minute text conversation than a 3-minute phone conversation, something that'll take 3 minutes on the phone. And they're just very comfortable digitally, and they're not comfortable, this is a broad statement, but many
right,
of them,
right, right. I get
they're not as comfortable in person. And it's important for us to try to have those times when our kids are disconnected from their devices. And when we are, right? If I'm talking to my son and I'm getting text messages, those messages can wait. I don't need to look at them. It doesn't matter if I look at them now or I look at them in an hour from now. And if we don't model that behavior also, our kids especially, they're watching us more than listening to us.
Oh, totally. Totally. Absolutely.
In fact, sometimes I think my kid doesn't hear a word I say, but that's besides.
No, but they're going to, totally. Are you kidding? I'm a mom of three. Oh my gosh. I want to go back to some of the to-dos that people can do for themselves. I know since I was a little girl, I know, and I've posted this, and I teach this, do this for yourself and other people. You have a book or sticky notes. Everybody's got little sticky notes, right? Right. I love you. Or write, you got this girl, you got this boy, and stick them, hide them in your underwear drawer, hide them in your best friend's car thingy. What am I talking? The middle console thingy. Yeah, whatever, that thing. That or even for myself, and I just posted this because I the little binders that have pieces, sheets of paper, and I write little love notes to myself. Like I'll thumb through it a few days ahead and I'll go, all right, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're valued, what you're doing, and really giving love notes to myself. But I also do that to other people. So it's important to show the kindness for yourself and other people and be of service that way too. I just love it. Let's go more into the, what else can we do? I mean, I can totally pull from the book, but I'm going to let you roll with that.
So I think you're talking about writing love notes to yourself.
To yourself and other people too.
Yeah, I mean, think about how amazing it is when we get a note from someone about why they appreciate us. Because most people we're way harder on ourselves than we would be on a friend. We're very tough judges. And when someone appreciates us, it makes our day. So what if we wrote one note every single day to someone telling them why we appreciated them? It could be a 5-minute every day after breakfast, we send an email, or it could be 15 minutes, we write a handwritten note that they'll hold on to forever. And what I found is when I write those notes, I feel amazing. I'm sure there's some science behind
totally.
It.
Oh, totally. There is. But yeah, go ahead.
I don't understand that science, but it's like I'm writing someone a note about why they're great and it makes me feel great. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But that's our way of making someone's day every single day, including ourselves. But you're right. I think it's important often to ask ourselves, what would we say to a friend? Because we are so much kinder often to our friends than we would be to ourselves. And making sure we're putting ourselves first, because it's impossible to be there for other people if we can't be there for ourselves.
Right. And how are you modeling that self-love? How are you being that example to family, to spouses, to coworkers, to, all of that? That's an important conversation to have because, and you said something earlier And I think it went with the conversation with Gabriel. It was the notes. They couldn't do it for themselves, but they certainly could do it for Gabriel, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to do it for ourselves too. Did you want to say something, Brad?
No. Well, and I think we need to schedule that time because our days become so busy. And when you look at what falls off your calendar, it's the stuff that we need to do for ourselves.
Yep.
That's the first thing. Oh, forget my workout. I got too much of this to do. I got that to do. Forget this. We need to put it on the calendar and make certain things definites. Like no matter what, we're not canceling what we need to do for us.
Oh, that's so important. Recovering people pleaser, recovering mom. I mean, you know, it's so true. And if you don't have it in the calendar, even if you say an hour I'm working out and that day you're exhausted and you just want to stay in bed while you're healthy instead of when you get sick, when your body is giving you a big sign. Okay. So back to the book, Humankind, add yet to your vocabulary and change I have to, I get to.
So, I mean, those are just like some little tips in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's mental, but it changes things. Like, I don't have a job to, I don't have a job yet. Right. It makes that change. It's subconscious. It's in your mind. It's worth doing.
It is.
And then I have to, I get to, like, you can go through experiences in your life where suddenly, like, let's say you have a health crisis and you can't make your kids lunch. You can't do the laundry. You can't do the dishes. And then you realize, man, it was pretty awesome that I was able to do that. So realizing like, I get to do this. And it's hard. But when you've gone through a difficult situation, it changes your perspective in that way.
Oh, hands down. Hands down. I totally agree with you. And that, and we talked about this, language is really important, right? You know, I use shiitake or the sticky stuff or the muddy stuff, because there's a little bit of, there's a nuance of humor in that. There's a childlike humor in that. And that's the frequency I want, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And I think it would be great because people, we are so bad about caring for ourselves. And I know you've thought a lot about this. Are there like things that you want to share that would be helpful for us in thinking about that?
Oh, you're so sweet. Actually, I was going to go right into your gratitude because that's my foundation. I mean, my foundation is about gratitude and thankfulness. The conversation, and it's really, it's not, oh, you know what, Brad, thanks for coming on today. It is, Brad, thank you. You're stepping in the rink. You are leading by example. I see you. And thank you so much for making a difference in so many lives, not only the lives in the book, but also my life now and the people that we're touching. That's true engagement and appreciation for Brad, right? For you.
Yes.
That feels a heck of a lot better, not only for me giving, but you receiving that. Oh, Brad, thank you, bud. Loved having you.
Right.
So deep appreciation and gratitude is really important. And like you were talking about earlier, the vocabulary that you use, you know, squashing that drunk monkey or the bad roommate that's in the head, right? You're getting a lot of suisms coming on my show, Brad.
I love these.
The bad roommate, the drunk monkey, because it's just hilarious and it makes me giggle. And you've got to really have and stand in awareness. And a lot of what you're doing with Human Kindness and your book is living a purposeful, aware life, right? And that's the number one thing in all that I educate and teach is you have to have the awareness that you are hurting, you are in denial, you are in victimhood, you are in pain, you are happy, you are in joy, right? And looking at that as a contrast, not about a shame hole, you know, going down that shame hole, just looking at it as a contrast. Oh, okay. I didn't much care for that. Don't go into the shame of it. Don't go into the sorrow of it. Just go, oh, now I know what I do like. Now I know what I don't like. It's that simple. It's just a different mindset. It's a different frequency that you're going to show up, not only for yourself, your body, your chemistry. There's all kinds of little neurons and cells that are bubbling around there, and they want your body to feel good. So have the conversation with yourself and the people around you using those types of vocabulary, like you were talking about, and really owning that, aligning with that truly to yourself, right? Because your nervous system and kids, you know this as well as I do, they can call BS on something if you're not aligned with it. Hot second, but you know what? Your internal system can do the same thing. So you've really got to get clear. Again, it's the awareness, get clear. And how do you want to talk to yourself? How do you want to show up? And I think that is a big precursor for people to also be aware. Well, how is that person talking to themselves? Then how are they going to talk to me? Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And having that conversation with yourself. So to Grad, thank you. Great question. I hope I answered it. I kind of.
You did. And you're welcome.
Thank you. Genuine engagement.
We got it.
I know. I love it. So compliment at least one person, including yourself. Give yourself, like Mel Robbins says, give yourself a high five every day. Compliments. Keep a gratitude journal. That's important too. If you can't, well, I'm a big proponent, and I don't know if it's because I'm the 80s kid, but regardless, I'm a big proponent of pen to paper. Neurologically, education-wise, all of the studies show it's just you remember it and it feels so much more when you put a pen to paper, not a typing computer thing, right? And write those little love notes like you were talking about, Brad, in your book. Write the love notes to yourself. Write them to other people. Use Gabriel's example, you know, and spread hope and love. We've got a few more minutes and what about 7 more minutes? Daily acts of kindness. Be mindful of who and what you expose yourself to. We just had that conversation, right? And having that awareness. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I mean, I think an exercise I do with my students is I ask them to write down the 3 people they spend the most time with, and then write down the traits of those people. And then we talk about, are those traits you want to have? Because the energy of the people around you influence how you become. And it's often very eye-opening to them. It's like, no, I don't want to be like this. And I need to think about who I'm spending my time with. It's the same for reading the news. If you, sometimes the news is not worth reading because it's going to just, you know, it's all the negativity. You got to balance that out with positive and reading things that make you feel uplifted, because your diet is more than what we eat. Our diet is like what we read, who we interact with, what we watch on TV.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Yeah. And I don't watch the news. They should be listening to my radio show anyways, not watching the news. Come on now.
Absolutely.
Hello.
And it's you can get it. You can download it on iTunes. So it's
iTunes, sound, all that. Yes. 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 And yes. Yeah. I choose to not watch the news and all that. I don't even have a TV on, you know, like radio stations, like regular TV stations on my TV. I just don't. If I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch a movie. That's either brain fog, I shut down, you know, and that's a conversation too, because you can do that as well. Oh, shoot. There was something I wanted to say. You were talking about the kids. I love that awareness practice, Brad, that you sit them down and you ask them the top 3 people. And oh gosh, what was I going to say? I don't remember now. It'll come to me after the show's over. Go ahead.
I could toss in, like, here's one more idea that I love.
Yes, please toss in like 5.
So, you know, I usually do one class a year where I give out index cards or little cards to the class, little note cards. Yeah. And I say, everyone write down what you appreciate about someone else, about every other classmate. So, you know, you'll write a note about what you appreciate about every class night. I collect all of them. Then each classmate gets a stack of cards of what their peers said. And it's unbelievable. I mean, There's tears. There's people saying, like, I'm going to hold on to these forever. It's we don't get acknowledgement often enough. There's just not time. Like, I feel like I need to be better at acknowledging people, and we all do. Yep. And that first, that's a great exercise to do with your family or a group or a team, because everyone loves it. And it's a reminder that, you know, there's so much power in acknowledging people. And also, as you said, acknowledging ourselves, reflecting back and say, what did I do great today? Yeah. We're at the start of the year. And at the start of the year, we're always like, okay, how can I improve myself? In addition to thinking, how can I improve myself? Let's say, what did I do awesome last year? What do I want to do more of? What am I proud of? Yes. You know, let's make sure we're balanced in that way.
I love that. I call that heart pride. It's not that ego. It's that service mindset of being, I am really proud of myself for showing up that way.
You right.
Know? Really, really proud of myself. Oh, and I think the card idea is really, really important now, because I know that in our society right now, I have been told, I didn't hear this on the news, but there's the hum of us going into recession and people are getting laid off and all these things. And I think it's really important that for those of you in the workforce, well, workforce across the board, but you know what I'm talking, like teams and leaders, team leaders, that sit your team down and write these notes to one another and then give them to your leader and then hand them out. I think, you know, you talk about more morale and boosting morale. I did a study a few years back, and I think it was like, don't quote me on this because it's been a few years. And going back to gratitude, it was like 60 some odd percent of employees did not feel appreciated. So if you're concerned about a bottom line, I think that is a really big conversation to have. And using this idea with the cards and sharing that with your team is really important, especially with the morale that's happening right now. It's really a beautiful idea. Thank you.
You're welcome. So something else I've seen along those lines, and I know we're tight on time, so I'll keep it to 30 seconds. There's a workplace, our local Big Brothers Big Sisters, they put up these appreciation boards. And you write little notes and you just put it on there for each employee, like what you appreciate about them. And it's like a group activity, and they have a really large office. You can't do it like, you can't say everyone for everyone. And I think every week there's one or two people who are different, who have a board up. And it's just a great way for that employee to feel the love from their colleagues.
I love this, Brad. I mean, this is how I live my life. I want it oozing on everybody. I love it. Yeah, you guys, let's do this. Let's do this together. We got a couple more minutes. And Brad, I do. I did sincerely mean that thank you earlier. For those of you that have been listening, good on you. For those of you who are going to be listening, good on you. All of that good on you stuff. Let's be kind. Let's choose kindness. We're all humans. We're all in this together. Right, Brad?
Yes.
Where'd it go?
And thank you for having me. I love the conversation. I love that it wasn't planned. Like, sometimes I get all these questions in advance. It was just a conversation going where it goes, and hopefully, you know, providing some good nuggets that'll help all of us in our lives.
Oh, it totally did. Yeah. I mean, there's general structure here, but I want it to be real and intuitive. And then, yes, of course, setting the intention before the show and providing good nuggets and tools. So thank you very much, Brad. You guys, we have been talking to Brad Aronson, Humankind. You got to pick up this book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it all over the place. I'm going to have it in all the show notes, all of that good stuff. So Brad, again, thank you. From my big thank you is wrapped with appreciation and gratitude and these beautiful stories and your willingness to donate, your willingness to show up, not only for the teens that you're working with, but your family, your son, and the people that you are being an example to. So thank you very much.
Thank you. You are so sweet. I love being on this show.
Thank you. I love this. I do. I love this. Love this. All right, you guys. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. Formerly known as Gratitude Cafe, but we're still all the same people. sign up for the newsletter. Just go to claritywithsue.com and I'll get you guys all signed up. Until next week, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world. Yeah.